Many things in one, many different things in one. That's how high up the idea of being God's people goes. It goes all the way to God. He wants us who are many to be one because he is more than one. He is diverse and yet he is just the one God. That's how far up this idea goes. This is how weighty this concept is. But listen to this. Jesus has an intention to make us one. And that's his evangelistic strategy for a world that does not believe and does not want God. And I don't know if you guys have thought about that before, like the best way to reach unbelievers. Like we think about the type of services we can put on. We think about different ways we can present the gospel. We think about being current and relevant and providing things that communities need. You know what Jesus says? His one evangelistic strategy is that the church would be one as he is one, and then they will believe. Our entire mission on earth, the commission of the church, depends on our ability and our willingness to receive the revelation that he has asked us to be one with each other as well as with him. Then they will know that you have sent me and that you have loved me. Now, some of you, I think, from last week are saying, I can't do that. I can't do what you're saying God requires me to do because it's too a vulnerable place to be, because I've been hurt in the past by church, or I've been hurt when I've given myself fully into relationships, or I've been rejected. I have bought who I am and I've been rejected. And I was reminded of, because we played it in youth, Corrie ten Boom, who's this Dutch lady, absolutely amazing, amazing Christian lady who ended up in a concentration camp in Germany for hiding Jewish people from Hitler's Gestapo. And she was in there a long time, and her sister died in there. She was released. And afterwards, she spoke still about the love of God, even as she did in the prisoner of war camps, in the concentration camps. And at one event, she was speaking and about the forgiveness of God, and a man came up to her afterwards and says, Frau Tenbaum, I am, and he said his name in German, and he was one of the guards from the camp that she had been in. And he said, I have found Jesus, and I have found forgiveness. And he has told me that I need to seek forgiveness from the people that I have sinned against. And here you are, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. And you know what she said? She said in the moment she was filled with hate. And she said, God, I can do nothing but hate him. I can do nothing but hate him. And in that moment, God brought to her remembrance a scripture which says that in Jesus, the love of God is poured out in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said she became a channel for something that she did not have and that was not hers to give. And she says, no, I cannot forgive, but he can. And as she stretched out her hand and she took his hand, she said she was consumed with a love like she had never felt for a man that had been responsible for the death of so many people, including her sister, and so much cruelty in that place. If God in Jesus can reconcile us, a sinner, to himself, the creator of the universe, he can reconcile you to your brother and to your sister. It is not in our power to be made one with each other. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have given them my glory so that it can be done. Take courage if you are here today and you think, I cannot make these people my people, because with man, this is impossible, but with God, everything is impossible. And he is declaring us over us today that he will make us one people so that he can display his glory in this place, in this town, and in our futures. Okay, so let's turn to, that's a sermon in itself. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, do you know, scripture deserves so much attention when you're preaching it, and I can't give this portion of scripture as much attention as I want, because we started this whole thing, this whole word from God started in communion, and it's going to end in communion. So we want to have time to do that and to have Abby come back up here and worship and have a ministry time if she feels so led. So that's where we're going. So I'm going to try not to rush, But if you love to hear exegesis, I'm not going to go so deep into these words today, but forgive me for that. I feel like there is something that God wants us to grasp. So the Corinthian church is not unlike the 21st century church. I want you to grab this today. They're a really wealthy church because of where they were positioned geographically in between North and South Greece. Very, very wealthy. It was a Roman governed place. They had arts, business. It was very pluralistic, loads of different religions. It was driven by success. It was about what you knew and who you knew. They even had their own versions of spin doctors who would declare in public places, not truth, but what they thought people wanted to hear, and in a very engaging way. Corinth was about the individual drive for success. It was about patronage, about who you knew, how far you could go. Corinth was very, very like 21st century Western world. And what they did was they took their culture, they became Christians, some of the Corinthians, and took that culture in with them into the church. Now, we are products of our culture. That's what happens. Like, you're born into a culture, you become a Christian, you don't suddenly transform into a Middle Eastern 2,000-year-old person. You remain a 21st century man or woman. You are a product of the context that you've been brought up in, right? So we take it in. So it's funny because we have taken in this business-like structure into the church about productivity and efficiency and drive and success and individualism and individual giftings. What can I do? What can God do in me? And like the Corinthians, we have brought that into our church. It's a really interesting epistle, and if you read it, you can see how Paul addresses all of those things, individual things that are showing up as division because they've adopted this worldview mindset. You know, they're like, well, I didn't get baptized by that guy, and I prefer this leader. I think he's a better speaker, and he's got better theology. I've got this freedom, so you're a worse Christian because I know about the freedom that God has given me. All of these took precedent over this idea that is the gospel. And so I feel like in chapter 12, this is where Paul says to them, you have misunderstood the gospel entirely by bringing that into church with you. Church is not a business. It is not a business, and it is not driven by the success or productivity of the individual. So here we go. We're picking it up in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, remember I told you that in Jesus' prayer, he said, I'm going to give you my glory so that you'll be one. The glory of God, what that looks like for the church, is the working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit takes what is mine and gives it to you. If you want to know what the glory of God looks like, with your eyes and your ears and your hands and your feet, it looks like the working of the Holy Spirit amongst us. And so here's Paul teaching them, this is how this works in community. This is how the working of God works. There are many gifts, and immediately he takes it out of a business model. You do not earn the expression of God in you. You do not earn it. You do not apply for it and beat other competitors to get it. There are many, many different gifts, many, many different workings. I want you to grab a hold of the vision Paul has of how wide and how broad the giftings of God are in his people. They're not limited. He goes on to talk about like 10 different things. And what we have done is think that God only gifts these 10 things. Do you think God, who breathed stars into space, who sung mountains up out of the ground, who created the central nervous system, do you think he is limited to an expression of 10 gifts in the church? Of course he is not. He is a God of diversity. Let's open our minds. We are being released today into a bigger understanding of what it looks like to walk out God's purposes as diversity, as one. That is, by the way, opposite to what modern philosophy would teach us. Unity is everything the same. No, it's not. That's absolutely wrong. The Bible teaches us that unity is about diversity expressed as one. It's not just like a side thing. Diversity is necessary for unity. And I'm going ahead of myself because you can't see that in scripture, but we're going to get there. So many, many gifts, same spirit. Many workings, same Jesus. Many servings, the same God. You see, again, he's saying diversity is found in God first, and yet we are one. Which is why diversity is going to be found in the church, but you guys are still one. Many, many different expressions, and the language of the kingdom is not productivity, it's grace. What you are is a gift, you have not earned it. Which is why productivity doesn't matter. It's just faithfulness to the grace that you have received. The reward is the same. It doesn't matter. We find that very hard to grasp because productivity is so drilled into us. The harder you work, the more money you'll get. That is not a kingdom dynamic. You just got to be faithful with the gift you've got, which is why this gift, you might say, well, that gift is more important, is no more important than this gift. Your faithfulness to the gift and the giver is what counts, not your productivity. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everyone sitting here today has a concrete expression of God just by being you. Because the way we teach the gifts sometimes is lots of us left thinking, oh, I don't have any gifts. That's not true. Take every thought captive to Christ and kick the ones to the curb that don't match up with Scripture. Paul teaches that in every one, God is made concrete and visible to the next person. Every single person. You do not leave it to the elite few, like the Corinthians thought, who have super gifts, as they called them. That is not a biblical truth. Every single person manifests the Spirit. That's what it means. Makes public, makes obvious, makes visible with your earthly eyes the purposes and plans of God in the church. And guess what it's for? Is it for you? It's for the common good. Why has God poured out his Spirit on us? And expressed it in different ways, in a myriad different ways, in all these beautiful ways, so that you can benefit your brother and your sister. The purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit is for the church to be unified. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. When I started preaching about 5 years ago, I did it because I felt like, I didn't feel like God called me to do it. And In the months afterwards, when I first started, I was like, oh, no, I shouldn't be doing this. There's a whole reason why I felt I shouldn't be doing this. And I was in a sermon, one of Rohan's sermons, so it must have been at least 4 years ago, and he was preaching from Ezekiel, and he was in a passage where God is reprimanding the shepherds for not taking care of the sheep. And the Holy Spirit put all his weight upon these one or two verses as he was speaking them, and they hit me like a truck in the chest. I get that. That's how God speaks to me. It'll be someone else's words spoken out loud, and I feel the weight of God on them. And I'm enslaved to it. I can't ever forget that I heard it. And he said to me, this is a paraphrase, you'll find it in Ezekiel, if you don't teach, you're a fat sheep. If you know where the green grass, this is literally what's written, if you know where the green grass is, and you eat it all for yourself, you are a fat sheep. And an irresponsible sheep, because there are skinny sheep. There are skinny sheep. Hanging out in mud pits who don't know where the grass is. The calling on my life to teach It's nothing to do with what I want to do. Because to be honest, and don't feel sorry for me, because there are people who have much, much, much more difficult things to do than this. Most of the time, it makes me want to find a cave that's very dark and very far away from people and crawl in it. That's what it feels like to express yourself in front of loads of people, something that's really precious to you. It costs to deliver a teaching, just like it costs to deliver your gift if you feel rejected. And it costs to open your heart to be a brother and a sister to other people in the church when you feel like they don't deserve it. There is a cost to what we pour out for God. But I do it, and don't be like, yeah, wow, you're so spiritual. I'm compelled to do it by the Spirit of God. Do you see? It's not me. It's not my effort. It is the Spirit of God that has compelled me to teach, because what he has put on me is for the benefit of the church and has nothing to do with my abilities and everything to do with his heart for you. Do you know that in school I was painfully shy? I have not met a teenager that was as shy as I was. And I've met a lot of teenagers. And you're like, nah, yeah, you just don't believe it, do you? Massively introverted. God takes the foolish things of the earth to show up the wise. I mean, you go back to secondary school and you say she's going to talk in front of hundreds of people. They would laugh. Your gifting is all about a God who loves you and loves those around you, and nothing to do with what you're capable of and what you can achieve. Just as a body, though, one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. What begins as Jesus and me ends as Jesus and me and my brother and my sister and my other brother and my other sister and my other brother and my sister and my sister, and on and on and on, because it's not just this place. Paul says, by faith, You made an individual union and choice to follow Jesus. It was an individual Jesus and me moment. But the moment you connected with the heart of Jesus on the cross, you stepped into a community. Which is why, if you're a believer here today, it is no longer Jesus and me. That is to fall short of God's calling upon your life. You are baptized into one body. And that means not just this one. It means all the churches that profess Jesus as Lord, in all the places, in all the lands, throughout all time. Now, if the body should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing... if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body... I think I know better than Paul. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Where's Bobby Sean? Some of y'all will not let go of this idea that your difference, that your difference and your uniqueness disqualifies you from being part of the body. You will not let it go. You wear it like a warm jumper because it keeps you safe. Guess what? This is amazing. God says you get to keep your uniqueness. In fact, it is what makes you part of the whole. And in fact, here's what we're being released into. If you are hiding, and this is what God is releasing over us today, if you are hiding away, you are, by your non-action, creating a monster of a church. Because you might get all the eyes who might be a certain personality type and express their gifting in a certain way, running the joint. And what you have is a massive eye walking around in the community. And yes, they can see things, but they can't do anything about it, can they? Can an eye engage in conversation with the person they have seen? Can an eye minister to a need they see? This is the reality. Bring it to the table. Bring yourself to the table. That's a business phrase. And what Paul does in the letters to Corinthians is he takes things that they're like, this is really good, this thing about culture, and we bring it into church, like knowledge. Knowledge is a big thing for the Corinthians. And so that's what we're doing today. Today's world says, what are you going to bring to the table in business? What do you bring to the table? Sell me yourself, and we'll see if you deserve a spot. Today, the Lord says, bring it to the table. Bring yourself to the table. Bring yourself to the table so that he can release the purposes for the church. What does it look like for God's glory to be displayed in his people? It looks like everyone being brave enough to step out in who they are. It doesn't matter what you think people might think. And just as an aside, Sunday morning is not the only expression of church, because church is not the building. Every single day you have opportunity to express the gifting that God has put in your life. And it's that we're talking about. Don't look at Sunday morning and say, oh, we got all eyes and ears up there, hearing God, or mouth speaking God's word. That's like one part. And if that's all church is, we have failed miserably, and there will be no unity, and the world will not be saved, because they will not look at us and say, check them out. How can they have the confidence to be like that? You know, the answer to today's identity crisis is Jesus. He is not irrelevant. The only reason I am who I am is because his love for me has been an absolute anchor in my personality. It doesn't matter what you think of me, and it doesn't matter what you think my trajectory might be. It doesn't matter if you think I talk too fast, if you think I parent my kids too loosely. It does not matter if you think I talk too much. I do talk too much. But it doesn't matter if you think that. It doesn't matter if people don't like what I wear. It doesn't matter if people don't like the way I express myself in praise. None of those things matter to me, because I know that I am loved by God, and he has so rooted my identity in his love for me that I am free to serve and give without anybody's expectations coming to land on me. And here's what God wants to release over us today. Guess what? That's not just a special gift for me. He wants everybody to walk in that place of freedom. It doesn't matter what you think your church leader thinks of you, or what you think your neighbor thinks of you, or what you think this, or what you think the youth think of you. You don't mind if I'm not cool, do you, young people? It doesn't matter if I'm not cool. I hope they don't. But it doesn't. To walk in the freedom to be who you are, and for it to be enough. And it's more than enough. It is what is required of you to express yourself to God just the way he made you to be, and bring your part to the table so that we can be one. Because until we do that, he cannot be fully present in this place. We will not fill up an ark. We will be limping like this. And it doesn't matter if the lights are killer and the sound system is amazing and our tech team is well trained and you have a great teacher and a great preacher and awesome music. None of that matters, because we'll still be dragging a dead leg. Today, God is releasing his heart over you. The Holy Spirit is wanting to action you all to be yourselves. What greater freedom is there than that? So we're about to take communion. I want to read this to you. It's from Corinthians 10. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Paul says that when you take communion, you proclaim the death of Christ until he comes back. But he also calls it a participation, which means that every person that comes to the table becomes a minister of the gospel because you are proclaiming a truth with actions. You are proclaiming a truth and you're going one step further. You're not just saying, when you take the blood, you say, Jesus died so that my sins could be forgiven and I could be washed clean. You say, I'm taking that as mine. That's the participation point, is to put yourself at the point of the cross and watch him bleed. To participate in the body is to put yourself, at the tomb and recognize that he rose again, which means there is a promise over your life that he is coming back for you. And not just you, he is coming back for you. This will go forward into eternity. Your success will not. Your productivity will not. Who you are, the church, the people of God, will go into eternity. You participate in those things. And then he goes on to say, and is not the bread that we break, and you just watched Paul do it, is not the bread that we break one loaf. And we who are many are one body. We all share the one loaf. So first of all, we proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection with the body and the blood. We participate in it by saying, it's mine. And then you saw that it was one body. It was one loaf of bread. And you say, and so it is with my brother and my sister and my sister and my brother. And so I will be with them in that truth from now until the day I die, and I'll see them again when he comes for his church to make us beautiful. Communion is so many different things. There are so many ways you can preach it, but it is about reconciliation between you and God and reconciliation between you and your brothers and your sisters. So I'm just going to pray and then hand over to Paul, who's going to, we're going to do the communion. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have made a way possible. That there is nothing on earth like the community of the redeemed. That there is no system, no political system, no religion, no philosophy that can unite diverse peoples together the way you can. Thank you, God, that you have not left us to our own devices that we might rip each other apart and tear each other limb from limb. Father, I thank you that in the power of your Holy Spirit manifest in each one of us is the ability to bring to you our expression of love and to you to bring unity in this place. Father, I pray for a spirit of unity in this place. Pray against division. Father, I pray for your blessing to be upon the people, for their hearts to be opened, that they might pledge their love to you and then to each other. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
So we're going to have take communion now. And I've asked you to stand because although time is really precious this morning, if we are the body of Christ, we ought to express that. The communion says this about communion: if you take it without discerning the Lord's body, but of course that's his body that hung on the tree. But the Bible makes it perfectly clear that we are his body. I'd like you to turn and greet those around you and just bless them, if you would. Thank you.
Yeah, of course you do.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Do you know what I really like? I feel a bit nervous saying this, but it matters to me. Michael, would you invite those that are in the back room that are comfortable, or Tim, one of you, would you like to invite them just to come in for communion? That there be no separation in the body. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for your church. It's a magnificent mystery that we should be the people of God. Would you move among us by your Holy Spirit as we share this communion now? Would you touch our lives and change us? Thank you that you poured out yourself that we could be free. Let freedom reign in this place today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to do something, if you can sit or stand for a second. I quite like the way we are at the moment. Just stay the way we are. But you know, I'd quite like us to stand when it comes to communion. We sometimes fall into a slightly heavy religious spot when we take communion. We're just going to pass it out among the rows. So, Graham, would you like to serve that side over there? Colin, you can serve the middle here. Kitty, you can serve this block. Kathan, would you like to serve this block, please? Charlie, you can serve the block up there if you would. Ruth, you can serve this block. Is that all right? Thank you so much. So they'll just pass it and you can take the bread and wine. But I do want us to have opportunity to pray with people this morning. We have enough time. We've already been presented. Christy, Joan, you make sure you get down here. We're going to, in a minute, you're fine. And for anybody else, in the prayer meeting this morning, I've got a real sense, and possibly because I felt it myself, is that sometimes you can feel, Kim used this word a lot, feel disconnected from God in a certain way. And a cloud comes. You know, maybe you feel that you must be a bad person or something. And the enemy loves that lie. Listen, whether you feel loved by God or not at the moment, I tell you this, you are loved by God. It's absolutely no question. And I believe that the Lord wants to deal with people that have come under a particular cloud today of shame or condemnation or guilt, because it doesn't belong there. So as we take this communion, if that speaks to you, I would really like us to be able to pray with you. I'm going to suggest, if we may, that we take communion first, and then once you've received the communion, if you would like prayer, I'd like to encourage you to come forward after that. Is that okay? Okay, so I've asked these people to come. Let's stand to our feet, shall we, and say, Lord, would you move among us by your Spirit as we celebrate your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to sit, I fully understand, it's not a problem. Through it all, it is well. And
and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all,
those that would like to receive prayer. This is a really good moment. If you would like us to pray with you for any reason, please just step forward and allow us just to lay hands on you and minister to you. Very welcome. We're just going to stand in the presence of God. We've got a few moments. Martin, would you come, please? So that we ask the elders to anoint you with oil. Anybody can pray with you, that's fine, just keep on going. But make sure that we get to anoint you with oil, if you would, for healing. I'd be really grateful. But don't take this as an audience thing, you can be praying, but let's just settle for a moment. stand together. As these folks are being prayed for, I want to ask that the Lord's blessing will be upon you. That his hand will be upon each one of you, and you will know his peace. To pray that you would find good health. Health not just within your body, but in your emotion and your mind. And that you'd know that you're loved. May the Lord deliver you from all evil. May his protection be upon you. And may you thrive in the place that he has assigned for you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. So we draw our time to a close, and just for a moment you better take your seats, for although our time has exceedingly gone, Martin, there is just one thing we have failed to do, and so you have the job of communicating the notices in 30 seconds to this congregation in a high impact manner.
Whoa. God is good?
Amen.
Amen. That's 10 seconds gone. And wow. Sucrecy, significant birthday.
Where are you?
America.
She's in America. There we are. Well, if you're hearing this, Sue, we love you and congratulations. Gift boxes for the Ark. It's kind of continuing for the Ark for this week. Ashes into Victory is a worship night here on Friday night. Come to that. And it's going to be great. On Saturday, Mary Wells is organising a kind of swap shop. Bring stuff you don't want, take away stuff you do want. Otherwise, it'll end up in my lounge again. And so please do that. That'll be great. Delene's organising some fasting periods to come up. So grab Delene and get more details next week. And please pray for people. There's a number of people that are ill. You might have heard about Diana Heffer. She's not been great, but she hopes to come out this afternoon. Please pray for her that her tests go well and she can be released. And we welcomed Resi back, which is fantastic news. Lots going on. And a big thank you to everybody who was involved in our ladies' event on Friday. 104 ladies came, and God was here, I hear. So that was a wonderful time. So bless you. Dismissed. Just, God's been meeting with us. I had a picture of, just to finish you off, just a picture of a massive ship bringing troops into shore at the end of a war. Massive ship, thousands of people on this ship. And there were people that were waiting for relatives, but there were a number of people on that ship who thought there was going to be nobody there to meet them. And they'd make their own way home. But God would say that today there's a ship that's arrived at port, and he is here today to meet you. Don't miss an opportunity. Be prayed for. And know you're welcomed home. And he has healing, he has comfort, he has sustenance for you. In Jesus' name. Enjoy your tea or coffee. Amen.